But we are in week 6 of 8 of our series on the Beatitudes. And so we've been learning the teachings of Jesus, being taught how to live a spiritually rich life here on earth. That's what living a blessed life is all about. Not just material and physically blessed, but a spiritually blessed life. And this is what it says. Do we have them? Click the sync button. See if they'll download again. We've been having some technical issues this morning. I don't know if you guys experienced the quick power on and off here a couple days ago, but it always messes stuff up at the church whenever we lose power. So anyway, it may be up there on the screen, the scriptures. Yes, we have them. Wonderful. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Last week we looked at this one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. So rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We are talking this morning about being blessed and pure. Blessed and pure. Many of you may know that my favorite restaurant in the entire world is good old-fashioned Mickey D's. McDonald's is my absolute favorite. What I love about it is that no matter where you go, you can get the exact same thing. I know this because I have been to a McDonald's in South America, in Venezuela, and I got the exact same chicken nuggets that I got in Tinsley and in Missouri and Illinois and anywhere else that we have traveled. It is wonderful. It tastes incredible. I don't care what you have to say about it. McDonald's chicken nuggets are the manna that fell from heaven, okay? I am convinced. And I believe this. Let me tell you how much I love McDonald's. I believe this after working at McDonald's for almost 4 years. And I'm still a fan of McDonald's. And if you have ever worked in the restaurant industry and you have been in the kitchen, most of the time you don't want to eat there after that, right? You're just like, man, I know how this food is made. I know where it comes from. I don't want to eat here. Not me. I was like, oh, man, I don't care. This is wonderful. During those 4 years at McDonald's, I learned a lot, not just my love for McDonald's that grew, and I also grew because of that love, but that's beside the point. But I learned a lot about McDonald's. In fact, McDonald's is one of the most unique restaurant chains in the world because their processes and systems are flawless. They have everything down to a science. You know, one of the things you would think, all of this fried food coming from McDonald's, right? Just think for a minute how complicated that would have to be. You have chicken nuggets and then you have McChickens. You have French fries that have to be fried in oil. You have fish sandwiches that have to be fried in oil. And if you guys, you've probably fried stuff at home before, right? If you use the same oil that you cooked fried fish in to fry chicken, that chicken tastes like fish, right? Or vice versa. And so they had to come out with a system of how to cook all of these things without the food intermingling together in the oil. And when you're cooking that volume of food each and every day, imagine the amount of oil that you would be going through. It's just an obscene amount. In fact, when we fry stuff at home, because listen, I'm from Southern Missouri, I like fried chicken, right? It's so good. When we fry some at home, we might be able to get 2, maybe 3 uses out of the oil, and then it's done, right? You've got all of this crud that starts to float on the top, and it comes to the bottom, so then your pot doesn't even heat up the way it's supposed to because it's just like caked with all of the batter and everything that's in the bottom of the pot. And then if you try to use it, I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, if you've ever tried to fry something and you use old oil and it burns, the oil burns, put that in your mouth and see how it tastes, right? It tastes disgusting. The food takes on the flavor of the oil. And McDonald's knew this. And they're like, hey, as much stuff as we've been frying, we can't be replacing the oil once a day or twice a day or however long that it took. Plus, they didn't want the man hours to have to constantly scoop out all of the loose French fries that got out of the basket or the chicken nugget batter that flaked off and all this kind of stuff. So they had to come up with a process. And their process is absolutely incredible. They found a way of taking their oil, and Jimmy, I know you're fascinated. If you don't know this, Jimmy actually was a part of a company that made oil, vegetable oil and canola oil and all this kind of stuff. So I'm sure you know a lot about this as well. But what they would do is they came up with a purification system that they put underneath this fryer. And it worked in such a way that it filtered the oil all day. The entire day, it would just circulate that oil. It would keep it hot. Purification system, it never overcooked because of this hot oil. And what it would do is it would filter all of that gunk, all of that crud, everything into this purification system so they could reuse the oil. So it didn't go from one day to 2 days. They could use the same vat of oil for 3 days without having to change it. Imagine the cost savings that McDonald's had developing that system. I know you guys are all like, Pastor Brandon, what are you talking about McDonald's? Listen, I am full of McDonald's facts. This is the tip of the iceberg, okay? I just want you to know. I think that's fascinating that they can cook that amount of food in the same oil for 3 days and it doesn't taste burnt, it doesn't taste gross, it doesn't taste like fish or chicken or whatever it is that you need. That is quite the feat. You see, this simple purification process, it has saved McDonald's millions of gallons of oil and even more man hours that no longer have to be used to clean and to replace this fryer oil on a daily basis. All because of a great purification process. That's all that it was, purifying the oil. And right here in this beatitude, Jesus is teaching the same thing to his disciples. He's teaching us about the importance of a spiritual purification process. That if we want to live a spiritually rich and blessed life, we must purify our hearts. We are all full of sin. We know this. This is what Scripture says. And Jesus is saying that even after you give your life to him, man, life gets in the way, right? Crud starts to fall off here and fall off there, and pretty soon we're just burnt out in life. We're burnt out with just the overburden of the sin and the guilt and the shame and all of the things that are going on in our life. And Jesus is saying you need to purify your heart. And Jesus gives us a purification process to filter out all of the junk and the crud in order to prolong our hearts. And if we live with a pure heart, we will make it to the end to see God and dwell with him for eternity. That's the blessing. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus, he's making an important distinction here about having a pure heart. Because see, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they taught this same thing, right? They taught, yeah, you need to have a pure heart. But the religious leaders of the time, they got it a little bit wrong. Jesus is diverging from the teachings of the Pharisees. You see, when Jesus talks about a pure heart, he's referring to the condition of the inner core of a person. He's talking about your soul. That's what needs to be purified. See, the Pharisees, they taught about the importance of our outward appearance, and our motive of our heart did not matter for spirituality. It mattered how you acted. It mattered about what you did. Right? That's why they were religious, because they said, if we do these right things, follow these purification processes and all of these religious rules, and we do everything right, then we will be purified. And Jesus says, no, no, no. That's not how it works. You're just taking a skimmer off the top of the oil. Because all of that stuff that settles down in your soul and begins to eat away and to burn you up and to consume you, it is still there. Jesus says we have to purify your heart. And this is what Jesus talks about when he flips the teaching on its head, placing an emphasis on heart over actions. And this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 23. He says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees. In fact, he calls them hypocrites. For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed, and self-indulgence. Right? How many of you guys have a dishwasher? Anybody have a dishwasher? My wife gets mad at me whenever I try to use the dishwasher. Because she's like, wait, no, I don't. You're doing the dishes. Here's why she gets mad at me. Because I don't believe that if you own a dishwasher, you have to pre-wash your dishes. That makes no sense to me at all. And all of the women are like, oh boy, right? It makes no sense. That's the purpose of the dishwasher, is to wash it. And she says, you have to pre-wash it because the dishwasher's not going to clean everything. And inevitably, say I eat a bowl of cereal, right? I put it in the dishwasher. It washes. I look at that bowl when it's done. I'm like, see, Kinsey, I told you so. Look, it's clean. And then I flip over the inside. And there's gunk all in the inside, right? That just like melted into it. It makes no sense at all. This is what Jesus is getting at. He's like, hey, you're washing the outside of the bowl, but the inside your heart, it's still filthy. It's still dirty. You want to use that bowl? You want to use that if it's clean on the outside but still dirty on the inside? No, of course not. He says, you blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. Listen, don't tell my wife, but she has a point to pre-washing the dishes. If you wash the inside first, the outside will become clean too. It's the same thing with our heart. See, it doesn't matter if you act like a Christian. It doesn't matter if you do good things. That is not what gives you the blessings of God. If you want a spiritually rich life, you have to let Jesus purify the inside. Jesus is teaching us that you can live a good life and do good things all that you want. But the only way to get to God is to purify your heart, to clean out the crud and the junk from your soul. And clearly the Apostle John, right, who's one of the 12 disciples, he wrote several of the books in the New Testament. He's here listening to Jesus teaching these Beatitudes. And he clearly takes this one to heart. Because in 1 John chapter 1, 9, he tells us how to have a pure heart. He says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and what? Purify us from all unrighteousness. See, the only way to have a pure heart is to confess our sins to Jesus and let him purify us. We can't do it on our own. Acts 15:9, it echoes the same sentiment about how to receive a pure heart. It says that he did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. By faith. The way that you purify your soul is not by doing these good outward things. It's by believing in faith that Jesus can save you from your sins, that Jesus can purify your soul, that Jesus can take all of the crud and the guilt and the shame, and he can wash it away. That is the blessing that Jesus is talking about here. So if you want to receive the spiritual blessing of seeing God, not just in eternity, but also the blessing of seeing God work in your life in this life, you have to believe that Jesus has the power to purify your heart and declare you clean and faultless before God. You see, Jesus doesn't just care about the end goal of you getting to heaven. He wants to work in your life today. So if you're here this morning, you're like, man, I'm just not seeing God work in my life because I've got all of these other issues going on. I've got this happening in my life and this, and man, I'm really struggling over here with this, and I can't seem to get over this hump. Maybe you're not seeing God because you haven't taken a time recently and asked him to purify your soul. It's a daily thing, right? To die to ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow Jesus. You see, we don't need more religious people in the world who are putting on a show of what it looks like to do the right thing. We need pure, devoted followers of Jesus who recognize that their hearts are full of sin and it needs to be purified and filtered out by the grace and mercy of Jesus. This is what Jesus is getting at. Imagine with me for a moment what our world would actually look like if everyone who called themselves a Christian had a pure heart. If you have ever had an issue with somebody who is a Christian, it is probably because they did not have a pure heart. We all know these people, and we all make this excuse, right? In fact, I saw a quote earlier this week on Facebook of Anne Hathaway saying something about some of the people that I've seen that have tattoos and all this kind of stuff and have this great hour. They're some of the most genuine people I've ever met. And some of the biggest hypocrites I've ever met are people who call themselves Christians and go to church on Sunday, right? And it's easy for us to make these assumptions because we just pick out those people. We pick out the religious people. We don't look at the people who are trying to serve the Lord purely and wholly and know that they need Jesus. But imagine if every Christian in the United States had a pure heart standing before God who called themselves a Christian. In fact, when you look at statistics, there's about 377 million people that live in the United States. And as of 2020, 70% of those people called themselves a Christian, claimed to be a Christian. Now, what's interesting is if you take that 70% and you ask them the question, how many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which is what it means to be a Christian, and died for your sins, only about 70% of that 70% who call themselves a Christian actually believe that. So, if 70% of Americans claim to be Christians, and they truly had Jesus purify their hearts, our culture would be radically different. It would, just by nature. In fact, any of you know who Simon Sinek is? Anybody, Simon Sinek? He does a lot of TED Talks. He's kind of a business guru type guy. And this is what he says. I found this very interesting this week. I was watching a video of his, and he was talking about how you change culture, right? So many times we ask ourselves, like, man, how did our culture get to this point, right? Like, how are we condoning all of this sin in our society? How did we get here? Well, Simon Sinek says this, that if you can take 15% of an organization, a business, a society, whatever it is, 15%, and you can get them on board with something new, you will change that culture of that organization within 5 years by just changing 15%. So imagine if 70% of Christians understood that it's not about being religious, it's not about having these outward appearances, it's about Jesus purifying my heart. Imagine the cultural revolution that we would have. Situations like the Amber Alert in our state these past few days would be virtually non-existent. Crimes like rape, sexual assault, fraud, embezzlement, murder, domestic violence, they would severely diminish. And I truly believe this because look at what Mark chapter 7 says. This is what happens if you don't have a pure heart. He went on, Jesus says, and he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. Not how they act, what comes from the inside. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. What Jesus is getting at is that the way that our world acts, it's not about the actions, it's about the heart. And if you want to change how our society is acting and behaving, it starts with you getting your heart purified by Jesus and going and sharing the good news to others that Jesus can purify you as well. Because Jesus purifies our heart. So these things like sexual immorality and theft and murder and adultery and greed and all this stuff, it gets purified out of us. All of the crud and all of the junk, the things that settle to the bottom of our souls that nobody else knows that we struggle with, gets purified out of our hearts. This is the overwhelming blessing that comes from being pure in heart. That God, yes, when you purify your heart, you will see God in the future. But then when we allow him to continue to purify us and share that truth with other people, we will see God work in our nation, in our society, like never before. See, this morning, I believe that Jesus is wanting to purify you. That We need Jesus to purify us from all of the sin and the crud in our lives, the seen and the unseen. We need Jesus to filter out the sin that's on the surface that people can see, but also the sin that's settled to the bottom, clogging our relationship with God that people cannot see. See, it's so easy when we hear sermons and preaching, and even I was wrestling with this while I was preparing this message. It's so easy to hear a message like this and think other people need to purify their hearts, right? Like, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've been saved. I've been set free. Yeah, these other people, these hooligans, they need to be purified by Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be purified by Jesus too, each and every day. So how do we receive a pure heart? Well, we have faith and believe that Jesus has the power through his death and resurrection to purify our hearts. And if we confess our sins to God, he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our impurities. This is the exact same thing that water baptism symbolizes, and this is why Jesus established it. You see, unlike the Pharisees who washed the outside thinking that the inside would become clean, water baptism shows us the opposite, that the washing of the outside of our bodies is a sign that Jesus first washed us clean on the inside. See, this morning, I believe that we all need to take a moment. We need to focus on becoming pure in heart. And if you do that, you will see God work in your life. I believe that if we just reset, say, Jesus, I need you to clean me from the inside out, you're going to see God work in your life this week like you never have before. See, in just a moment, we're going to receive communion together. And we're going to remember the power of Jesus' death and resurrection that has cleansed us of our sin. But before we do that, I want us to listen to this worship song. And while we listen to this worship song, they're going to pass out the elements to prepare for communion. But I think it's important that as we listen to this song, I encourage you to take these few moments, focus on God. Maybe you got to bow your head and close your eyes, whatever you need to do. Maybe you need to come up to the front to these altars to focus. But we need to ask Jesus for his purifying power in our souls, to take our sin that is stained red and wash it white as snow. As we play this song, will you just take this moment and ask Jesus to purify your soul from the inside out? Jimmy and Alan come and begin to pass out.